Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. It is time now to talk about this year in movies. We have a top 10 of 2012 list from Sean Stone, the arts editor of Metroland. Please bear in mind as you listen, when we taped this, we hadn't had a chance to see any of the movies that opened during the week of Christmas. I began my conversation with Sean by asking how he thought this year was for movies generally.
There were some strange trends. I mean, one of the things that I noticed this year is a lot of really beautiful buildings they would construct for movies would get blown up.
Right.
Like, this, that wonderful mansion in Dark Shadows gets blown up at the end.
Mm-hmm.
That was in like three different movies, and it was really kind of depressing.
Yeah, quit blowing up buildings.
Yes, nice things.
All right.
You know, it's like the disaster movies. Blow up Los Angeles. Leave New York alone.
We have the for this segment, the classic format of a top 10 list, your top 10 movies. Before you do your 10, since you're the more expert than I, I'm going to name two that are on your list that I liked, if that's all right with you.
Sure.
I liked Looper, written and directed by Rian Johnson, starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis, Emily Blunt. It's a time-travel-y, mind-bendy action film that I very much enjoyed. It's Looper. And The Sessions, which is going to be on every awards everything, written and directed by Ben Lewin, starring John Hawks and Helen Hunt. John Hawks is a polio survivor who hires Helen Hunt as a sex surrogate to learn about his body and adult relationships. It's beautifully acted. It's funnier than it seems it should be and appropriately sad. And that is not a revelation to enjoy. Everybody is enjoying the movie, The Sessions.
And if it were any other year, he'd probably win the Oscar.
Right.
But Daniel Day-Lewis.
Lincoln.
Yeah, he's unbeatable. All right. So we'll start with number 10, and we'll start with it was an indie sleeper hit,
mm-hmm.
meaning it didn't cost much to make, and it made a little bit more than it cost to make.
That's great.
And it's called Safety Not Guaranteed, and it stars Aubrey Plaza as an intern at a very glossy Seattle magazine, which is really funny coming from the paper I work for watching. Ooh, look at that. Look at all the money they have.
They can send people.
They
to
can
do
send
stories.
People someplace with two interns.
Wow.
Who do all the work for the writer. But it's sort of half love story, half conspiracy theory, science fiction genre bender that really works.
I really liked it.
It sort of stays with you. I was surprised.
Yeah. I was talking about good movies this year when I was booking this segment with you, and I asked my roommate, I said, what do you think? What was good this year? What am I not thinking of that was good? Because there's all the Oscar stuff that's out right now. And then she said, that movie with Aubrey Plaza that... And I was like, oh, right, yeah. You're absolutely right. Safety Not Guaranteed was a good flick. It was fun to watch.
Jeff?
All right, how about this time travel ad?
What have you got?
Yeah, somebody emailed it in from the classifieds. He's looking for someone to go back in time with him. Do a little tongue-in-cheek investigation, find this guy, see if he thinks it's real or if it's a prank.
Not bad.
Now the guy says you'll get paid when you get back, bring your own weapons. Safety's not guaranteed and he's only done this once before. You know, see if maybe he believes in this stuff. I don't know, I think it could be funny.
You want to do it? All right, you got it.
Can I get a couple of interns? Help me with
I'll
the
do
research,
it.
Do some heavy lifting?
Me, too, please. Me.
All right, give me the lesbian and the Indian and I got a story.
And number 9, we have Silver Linings Playbook, which is David O. Russell's mental illness love story
mm-hmm.
with Bradley Cooper and
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes, and it was just so dynamically directed. The characters were on the move, and Russell's camera was right there with him, and it was never distracting. It was never that shaky cam distraction.
Right.
I mean, he was really, his direction matched the sort of the rhythm of the characters, and it just made it all work. And then there are some rather unbelievable things in the film, but you go with it because it's emotionally believable and it's very funny.
Yeah.
It's essentially a comedy.
It is. And it's like you and I discussed after we'd both seen it, Bradley Cooper's performance, he has an intensity of a mentally ill person that I've seen in the world that is,
yes.
You know, very, very true portrayal, I think, from my experience with individuals.
Yes.
What meds are you on?
Me? None. I used to be on lithium and Seroquel and Abilify, but I don't take them anymore. No. They make me foggy and they also make me bloated.
Yeah. I was on Xanax and Effexor, but I agree, it wasn't as sharp, so I stopped.
You ever take Klonopin?
Klonopin, yeah.
Right?
Jesus.
Like, is it what?
Yeah.
What day is it? How about trazodone?
Trazodone.
Oh, it flattens you out. I mean, you are done. It takes the light right out of your eye.
God, I bet it does.
You're number 8.
Prometheus, which is Ridley Scott's prequel to Alien. And I was kind of puzzled by the reaction to it because basically the sci-fi nerds all were like, oh, look at all the holes in the plot.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's a movie about a spaceship that travels across the universe. Since that's never going to happen, everything is a plot hole. It's very good on the two things that the original Alien was. I mean, it doesn't have the tension of that at all. But it's good on the crew dynamics,
okay.
And it's a really good cast. It's Noomi Rapace and Idris Elba and Charlize Theron and
Fassbender.
Fassbender as the android is just spectacular. I mean, he just walks away with the movie, and it's very enjoyable, and it's got some twists in it that you don't see coming, and it, you know, and of course the alien shows up at the end and starts killing people, so it's that, you know, you're not going to get around that.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful, and it worked really well in 3D. I enjoyed it.
Prometheus.
David, what makes you sad?
War. Poverty. Cruelty. Unnecessary violence. I understand human emotions, although I do not feel them myself. This allows me to be more efficient and capable, and makes it easier for my human counterparts to interact with me.
Number 7.
We have Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in there with no expectations because, you know, I haven't really liked a lot of his movies, Steven Spielberg's movies lately. I like most of AI and part of Minority Report. But this is really good. It's a very classical filmmaking kind of thing. It's very unobtrusive. I mean, there's probably 3 times in the movie where you notice the shot, where mm-hmm. he does something flashy.
Right.
It's Daniel Day-Lewis as Lincoln, and it's about the attempt to pass the amendment to ban slavery. And it gets a lot of political ideas into a movie in a really engaging and ingenious way, and Tony Kushner did a spectacular job of adapting it. And it's a wonderful cast with Day-Lewis and Sally Field and David Strathairn and James Spader and
sure.
Tommy Lee Jones. It's just very entertaining.
My friend John Hawkes shows up.
Yes.
And Walton Goggins from Justified is in it.
Tim Blake Nelson. It's a pretty amazing cast. I guess the other thing that I realized sort of afterwards, it sort of hit me that, you know, the great American movie about the Civil War, of course, the original one is Birth of a Nation. And there is a shot in Lincoln that I'd have to compare the DVD when Lincoln comes out to where he totally refutes one of Griffith's really racist points in Birth. And it's near the end of the movie, and it's really cagey, and it's something only a film geek would notice. But kudos to Spielberg for putting it in there.
Euclid's first common notion is this. Things which are equal to the same thing are equal to each other. That's a rule of mathematical reasoning. It's true because it works. Has done and always will do. In his book, Euclid says this is self-evident. You see, there it is, even in that 2,000-year-old book of mechanical law, it is a self-evident truth that things which are equal to the same thing are equal to each other.
Number 6, Argo. Ben Affleck's drama about the other Iranian hostages. They weren't really hostages. They sort of escaped the embassy in 1979 in Tehran, and they hide out in the Canadian ambassador's residence. I guess the great thing about this movie is the verisimilitude. I mean, it's just amazing. It feels like the 70s.
Yeah.
And it's not just because they look, I mean, it helps that they look exactly like the original characters looked.
They did a really good job casting actors who look like the people.
And the way they dress and the way they act, it doesn't seem contemporary. It seems like a period piece.
Right.
And also the marrying that part of it to the Hollywood part, because the way they try to get them out is pretending they're a film crew. So they go to Hollywood and create an entire fake movie around it. And that's where you get the showbiz types just having a ball, Alan Arkin and John Goodman. And then you reach the end and it's a true story, and it's just sort of, although I'm pretty sure some of that nail-biting stuff was probably amped up for
sure.
The movie.
I think that's fine. It's a movie.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that either.
Ben Affleck does a great job underacting and has directed the film too. I think it was really fun. I liked it a lot. And what I heard before I saw it was exactly how it played out for me. Like, the coverage of that movie was what I saw too. It was like, this is fun and good, and a lot of, like, the start is historically serious and it matters, but it's a fun and good movie over the news.
Yes.
Okay. You got six people hiding out in a town of what? 4 million people, all of whom chant death to America all the live long day. You want to set up a movie in a week. You want to lie to Hollywood, a town where everybody lies for a living. Then you're going to sneak 007 over here into a country that wants CIA blood on their breakfast cereal, and you're going to walk the Brady Bunch out of the most watched city in the world.
Asked about 100 militia at the airport. That's right.
Right. Look, I got to tell you, we did suicide missions in the Army that had better odds than this.
Number five.
Pina. This is Wim Wenders' documentary about the German choreographer
Pina Bausch.
And it makes really beautiful use of 3D, which probably doesn't do any of the listeners much good, because I'm guessing the percentage of them who own 3D televisions and can get the 3D Blu-ray are probably limited. But if you have that opportunity, do it, because it captures the choreography in a way that a flat movie wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very moving, the story. I mean, it was supposed to be like a documentary about her and, you know, sort of an adjunct to her career. And then she died,
mm-hmm.
like right after the movie was done shooting. So it's kind of shocking, but it was very good. And Wenders did a really lovely job.
That's Pina, P-I-N-A is how it is spelled.
Yes.
You're number four.
Frankenweenie.
Okay.
Tim Burton took his short film of 25, 30 years ago, it had to be 30 years ago, and expanded it into a feature. It's about a boy who reanimates his dead dog, sort of like a Frankenstein story, as the title would imply. And it's very moving, and it was kind of austere visually, and it was also, it's the most beautiful 3D animation I've ever seen, and I think because it was in black and white, that helped.
Okay.
It was because I made a point to go see it in IMAX 3D, and it was very impressive. And it's fun, and I thought Burton had a good year. I mean, Dark Shadows isn't any masterpiece, but it was a pretty good movie. You know, they didn't make any money, so the verdict is he had a bad year, but he actually had a good year.
Okay. And you think that Frankenweenie is better than Lincoln?
Yeah. Yeah. There were problems with Lincoln.
Okay.
So I'm going to, and I'm not going to get bowled over by the historical nature of it.
Okay.
I like what's in front of my eyes, too.
Mr. Whiskers had a dream about you last night.
How do you know?
Because this morning, he made this.
Oh. Did you get that out of the litter box?
It's an omen. If Mr. Whiskers dreams about you, it means something big is going to happen.
And then your number three is an excellent film.
Yeah, it was another indie sort of sleeper hit that's sort of getting, I don't want to say dissed, but sort of passed over at the end of the year in the awards talk and some of the 10 best lists. It's called Beasts of the Southern Wild, and it's shot in the Louisiana Basin, and it's fiction, but it uses non-actors. And it's based around, what is she, like 8 years old?
Maybe younger. She's really
six.
Small.
She's really small.
Yeah, very young.
And it's about their struggles before and after a flood, and it's very...
They're not wanting to leave. They're very, very poor people. They're not wanting to leave
the basin.
Shacks they live in the basin.
Yeah, literal shacks. I mean, like, the father and this daughter each have their own shack.
Right.
And it's nerve-wracking, and it's intense, and it's life-affirming in a weird way. And it's sort of, and there are moments of extreme beauty in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
And just, like, alive emotions. And it's really good. I mean, definitely, definitely worth seeing.
Beasts of the Southern Wild.
One day, the storm's gonna blow, the ground's gonna sink, and the water's gonna rise up so high, there ain't gonna be no bathtub, just a whole bunch of water. But me and my daddy, we stay right here. We's who the earth is for.
Magic Mike. This is Steven Soderbergh's drama about a male stripper, Magic Mike, played by Channing Tatum, and sort of his life, where he is at one level. I mean, the strip club scenes are just the skeeviest. Yet, Soderbergh shows what the women in the audience get out of it, and they're sort of, it's a nice contrast between their innocent pleasure and the joy of performing and the absolute sleazy context that this all takes place in.
Uh-huh.
And Tatum is sort of like this sort of innocent go-along, get-along guy. You know, he's trying to save money to open up a furniture business, but it's a terrible economy. No bank is going to loan him money. He's got a pile of money saved, but it doesn't matter. And he's sort of trapped in this life, and he doesn't know it. And the movie is about him coming to the realization that he's trapped in this life. And it also contains just a fantastic performance by Matthew McConaughey, who had a spectacular year, by the way. I mean, he was great in the gothic drama Killer Joe, and he's great in the next movie, the number one movie on my list. But he plays the club owner who just manipulates these guys. And if Soderbergh is really going to retire, it's a good movie to go out on because it's gripping in a way.
Magic Mike. I did miss that this summer, but I think, based on your recommendation, I'll check it out. I think it's probably out on DVD now, if not certainly shortly.
It is.
Okay.
The law says that you cannot touch.
But I think I see a lot of lawbreakers. And I don't see a cop inside.
And your number one film of the year?
Bernie. Richard Linklater's true life drama about the most popular man in the small West Texas town, Bernie, played by Jack Black. He sings in the choir. He gets involved in all the charitable activities in the town. He's an assistant funeral director, so he's dedicated his life to making people look good for their last moments, and that is appreciated in this town. And he eventually develops this relationship with the richest widow in town, also the meanest woman in town, played by Shirley MacLaine, and ends up killing her. And the story is about how that happens. And Matthew McConaughey, in a comic performance, plays the district attorney who is determined to make sure he goes to jail for this. The framing device is a sort of Greek chorus of real townspeople who knew the case, sort of filling in the background information, you know, being interviewed. And it's a device that fails more than it works in most movies,
mm-hmm.
but it works in this movie because it keeps the story from being one-dimensional. You really get the flavor of these people and that part of Texas. And it's also very funny. And Shirley MacLaine is wonderful. And it's probably, if it's not Jack Black's best performance, it's pretty close.
What happened with Carl?
I got rid of him. I caught him red-handed. God knows what else he's been stealing from me, Bernie.
He says he was going to get it fixed.
That's what he says.
Well, I don't think Carl
And those flowers he supposedly planted, they're supposed to bloom 2 weeks ago. He is a lazy good-for-nothing. The man's never done anything.
I don't think that he would ever do anything
Why
like...
Why are you sticking up for his kind?
Marjorie, you're making it very hard to be your friend. I'm gonna come back some other time.
Go ahead, desert me, just like everybody else. Go ahead. Go, you hate me!
Marjorie, I am not going to take part in this argument. You know I don't like you, and that's bad.
I know you hate me!
No!
It's a real Americana thing. It's a lot of fun.
Your number one movie of the year, Bernie, a decidedly different flavor than your number one movie last year, Melancholia.
Yes.
Sean, thank you, as always, for joining us today and this whole year, and we will continue speaking with you in 2013.
You're welcome, and I look forward to it.
Sean Stone is the arts editor of Metroland online at metroland.net. The Roundtable's Best Of lists are posted online at tinyurl.com/rtbestof. That's tinyurl.com/rtbestof. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.